Again, I'm Kathy O'Connor from NCHS. We're in Hyattsville, Maryland. Not everyone from CDC is in Atlanta. I'd like to start off by thanking my co-author, Rosa Avila, who is now affiliated with the University of Washington in Seattle. Okay. I have nothing to disclose, and the findings and conclusion are ours and not necessarily those of the CDC. Today, I'm going to tell you why I'm giving this presentation, and I'm very briefly going to define who children with special health care needs are. Then I'll describe some of what we already know about the employment and financial impacts on families with children with special health care needs. I'll describe the design and key features of the data source, which is the 2009-2010 National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs. And I'll explain key measurement variables and tell you how we analyze these data. Then I'll describe selected results and summarize key take-home points. So, the purpose of this talk is to describe the impact of vision difficulty on employment and financial burden among families with children with special health care needs. Again, I describe the data source. These children are between 0 and 17 years of age, and as far as we could tell, very little is known about the financial unemployment impact on these families, although a considerable amount of research has been conducted on employment and financial burdens among children with special health care needs in general. So again, we're looking at the families with visually impaired children. Condition-specific work and financial burden has been explored among children with asthma, as well as children with intellectual disability, but we could not find anything that examined visual impairment. So again, to study this issue, we use data from the 2009-2010 National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs. This periodic survey produces national and state estimates of the prevalence of special health care needs, and as well as the impact of special health care needs in children generally, and examines their health care use and experiences with the larger health care system. So that begs the question, what is a child with special health care needs? Well, the brief five-item CSHCN screener is consequence-based, and that's what we use to identify children with special health care needs, and it's a standardized tool. So the five consequences are, well, I don't know where, here it is. Anyway, they're listed here with the bullet points on the slide, and I'll let you read those. It uses a non-categorical approach to examine characteristics and consequences that many children who have one or more diagnoses share, even across a wide range of diagnoses. So parents who say yes to having any one of these five consequence questions are then asked up to two follow-up questions. And if they answer yes to both of those follow-up questions, then they are considered a child with special health care needs. So the follow-up questions determine if they are due to a medical, behavioral, or other health condition and that it is expected to last for 12 months or longer. The screener is based upon the definition that's promulgated by the Maternal and Child Health Bureau of the Health Resources and Services Administration. And again, that definition is purposefully broad and inclusive. These children require not only health services due to their health care needs, but they also require ancillary services such as social services, mental health counseling, family services, or respite care. So for the purpose of this talk, I want to remind you that, again, that when I'm comparing groups, I'm going to be comparing within special health care needs. So I'm not looking at the general population of typically developing children in this country. So the research question is, what is the impact of vision difficulty on selected indicators? And again, as I mentioned, we're not aware of any previously published studies, so if you know of any, certainly let us know, but we couldn't find any. And to address this gap, we wanted to explore this relationship further. We know that the visually impaired CSHCN, which is the acronym for Children with Special Health Care Needs, which I will trip over anyway. I'll trip over the acronym and the whole word, but there you have the whole title. There you have it. Tend to have a higher degree of morbidity and routinely experience higher levels of functioning limitations than non-visually impaired children with special health care needs. So again, we wanted to learn more about what's going on in these families. So what do we already know? We know that more than 1 in 7 CSHCN in the United States age 0 to 17 have any difficulty seeing, even when they're wearing glasses or contact lenses. if you add up, and that's adding up the pink and the blue, the pink is that their parents reported that they had a little difficulty seeing, even when wearing glasses and contact lenses, and the blue is a lot of difficulty. So throughout this presentation, I'm going to say CSHCN with any vision difficulty. I'm not going to say a lot or a little because, again, it's more to trip over. But basically, you're adding up the blue and the pink there. But it's a significant minority. Employment and financial issues, as we know, can have short and long-term impact on both the individuals and the families. And there's examples listed here, of course, for instance, lost wages or perhaps underemployment. For instance, parental job loss has been found to increase the likelihood of a child in that family being held back in the grade by approximately 15%. And also it leads to less intergenerational wealth accumulation, and which could impact opportunities that the child may have in the future. For instance, maybe perhaps in the future they won't be able to go to school because the family can't afford it and they don't get scholarships, for instance, to college. It impact, again, it has both short-term and long-term impacts. And an association has previously been established between the poor health of a child and his or her parents' employment status by Kathow and Perrin. So factors on this slide, you see factors that are associated with employment and financial impacts in families with children with special health care needs. The last bullet that's listed, receipt of care in a medical home model or a patient-centered care model is a protective factor. And receipt of care within a patient-centered medical home provides a degree of protection for these families, especially for those who are poor or near poor. And receipt of care in a medical home has been found to reduce employment changes, expenses, and these children who receive care in a medical home patient-centered model also have lower out-of-pocket costs. So how did we conduct the survey? Again, I'm not going to read the name of the survey, it's long. We screened over 196,000 households across the country to identify a sufficient sample. First, we tried to identify households who had one or more children less than 18 years of age using a very large random digit dial sampling frame. This sampling frame was of landline telephones. It was supplemented by an independent RDD sample of cellular telephone numbers because of the coverage issues that you have if you only look at landline numbers, particularly among children, households with children, rather. So once we knew that it was a household, we talked to the parent or guardian who knew about the health and health care of the child, and that person was the respondent for, once that person was identified, that person was the respondent for the rest of the detailed interview. And by talking to this adult respondent, we screened all of the children for special health care needs in the household. So if the household had if they had more than one child who screened as a child with special health care needs, we randomly selected one child, one CSHCN rather, out of that household as the target for the detailed interview. We screened over 372,000 children nationally, and our public use file, or PUF, for the interview file includes information on 40,272 children with special health care needs. 40,242 children. With funding from MCHB, the survey was administered by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics, which is where I work, specifically using the state and local area integrated telephone survey. So here's our dependent variables. They're all dichotomous. So did the health conditions of the child cause financial problems for the family? Were there any family members who avoided job changes because of concerns about maintaining the health insurance for that child? And did any family members cut back or stop working because of the child's health condition? And we ran three separate logistic regression models to examine these issues. We had a whole slew of independent variables, controls, and I won't go over all of them, but they're broadly can be characterized into this paradigm. We had obviously the typical suspects of sociodemographic and socioeconomic and demographics, healthcare access and use, as well as the impact and severity of the child's condition on the family. That is one variable. The reason I'm not giving you a handout with a whole bunch of odds ratios listed is that we want to refine this model. So I may be adding one or two variables in that section. But for right now, we have the severity of the impact and severity of the child's condition. And then vision status was included as a covariate. For the socioeconomic status and demographic variables were imputed to account for a high degree of missingness in the data. And that missingness was non-random, so we had to impute. The income variable uses combined total family income and household size using the federal poverty guidelines that are promulgated by the Department of Health and Human Services. We also looked at receipt of Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, which can be considered a source of income for severely disabled children. But note that the definition of SSI doesn't have anything to do with the MCHB definition of CSHCN. We also looked at one measure of the impact of the child's condition on the ability of adults in the household to go to work, specifically the impact and severity of their condition, and several measures of healthcare access and utilization. The severity measure examined the impact of the child's condition on their daily activities and functional abilities, and this is a derived variable that combined information on both frequency and intensity measures. Medical home, I've already described. There's a lot, it's an amalgam of, I think it's like 19, 20 different variables. It's a derived, it in and of itself is a derived variable, but there's about 20 things that go into it. But it's family-centered, ongoing, comprehensive, and coordinated care for these children, and patient-centered. And again, that's a composite system, or composite variable, rather. And then we also included insurance under healthcare access and utilization, because obviously insurance helps children and their family access needed healthcare services. So we looked at whether or not the child was insured at any point, whether the child was uninsured, rather, at some point in the past year. And then if they were insured, what type of insurance did they have? Check my time. Okay. So the weights, we used weighted data, which are represent the non-institutionalized CSHCN population. We accounted for the complex survey design because we had clustering in the sample and stratification. And statistical comparisons of CSHCN for the point estimates were assessed using the 0.05 level. And if the, I'm not reporting anything that's not reliable. There's an NCHS standard for that. Limitations of these data are that they are parent-guardian reported. We did not do a medical record check. We didn't have access to any of that. We didn't have clinical measurements. We didn't have any school records, so we could not use that to verify or to further classify vision status. So again, this is based on parent report. These are cross-sectional data and cannot be used to determine causation. And unfortunately, we didn't have enough room, real estate on the survey to ask about full-time, part-time, parental employment, or hours worked. There's a whole, as Kara was mentioning, there's a whole technical expert panel that we had for this survey, similar to what she was talking about, and it's like herding cats to try to get questions on a survey. So we did not, unfortunately, ask about those variables. So what did we find? Well, the first model looked at families, members who avoided changing jobs because of concerns about maintaining health insurance. So first, I should tell you that the percentage for family members who avoided changing jobs to maintain the child's health insurance among CSHCN with any vision difficulty was 23%, compared to 16.7% for non-visually impaired CSHCN. And then if the child's health condition caused financial problems for the family, among visually impaired CSHCN, that estimate was 32%, compared to 19.5% for non-visually impaired CSHCN, so a 12.5 percentage point difference. And the percentage of CSHCN whose families cut back and or stopped working because of the child's health care needs, among visually impaired CSHCN, among families with visually impaired CSHCN, it was 35.5% of these families either cut back or stopped work. Among the no vision difficult CSHCN with no vision difficulty, it was 23%. So it's again a difference of 15.5 percentage points. Oops. Okay, so the first model explored if any family members avoided changing jobs to maintain health insurance for the child. And as you can see here, I'll give you a little extra time to read this, but the vision status variable maintained an independent, statistically significant independent effect. This slide, after the crude and adjusted odds ratio, this slide shows predictors with higher odds of predicting avoidance of job change than what the adjusted odds ratio is for the vision status variable. The strongest predictors were the odds of paying more than $1,000 out of pocket with an odds ratio of 3.73, followed by the daily activities were consistently affected often or a great deal with an odds ratio of 3.07. So as you can see, the adjusted odds ratio for vision status is below those numbers. We didn't notice any differences between the odds of avoiding job changes for the highest level of education in the parents, primary language spoken in the household, gender, metropolitan statistical area status, receipt of SSI, and family structure. Moving on to the second model, which looked at health conditions causing financial problems for your family, I want to mention, by the way, that this is a cross-sectional survey, so we cannot determine causation. I don't want you to get confused because you see the word caused there. That was actually in the wording of the question. So that is the way we asked it, and I'm not misusing it to say, oh, this is a causation. So as you can see here, the vision status maintained its independent effect for higher odds of the children's condition causing financial problems for the family. Again, generally the same mix of predictors are stronger than vision impairment, with the addition of primary language spoken in the household. Again, out-of-pocket expenses were had the highest odds ratios, as well as poverty. And the actual out-of-pocket expenses, the odds ratio was 13.1, which I think is overstated. So we're going to go back and look at that because I think it's much higher than what it should be. However, even if it goes down, I don't think it's ever going to go below zero. So the point is that there's still a high trend there, but I don't think the odds are 13 times higher. No differences were noticed in the odds of financial problems for the child's race, ethnicity, age, MSA status, receipt of SSI, family structure, and employment insurance type, rather. The third model, third model was whether the family members cut back hours or stopped working because of health conditions. And by the way, since I only have 2 minutes left, I'm willing to email me and I can send you the slides. Again, you can see that vision status maintained its independent effect, and the strongest predictors were, again, condition severity, out-of-pocket expenses, financial status. So it's similar group of predictors, which makes sense. There were no differences noted for highest education in the household, race, ethnicity, MSA status, which was barely insignificant, two categories of family status, and private insurance. So to summarize all these odds ratios, even after controlling for various SES, demographic, and healthcare access variables, families of visually impaired children with special healthcare needs had higher odds of experiencing one or more of these issues. Note that the effects of vision status are relatively weak. These odds ratios are not huge, but there are covariates that have stronger effects on the dependent variable. That is the usual suspects, poverty, out-of-pocket expenses, condition severity, et cetera. Some of these are multidimensional systemic factors that will be difficult to impact, but it's still important to know how this shakes out. And again, we're going to go back and refine the models, but this is what we have to present at the moment. So in conclusion, not much is known about the impact of vision status on employment and financial burden among these families. A weak association exists between vision status and CSHCN and these outcome variables. But again, even after controlling for a whole slew of variables, the weak association is still there. And although these covariates do not explain away the relationship between the dependent variable and the vision status, they do diminish the relationship. These families may benefit from additional work-life balance and other supports. Finally, I want to tie into what Kara was talking about because I wanted to tell you about a coming attraction that will be released either in late 2012 or early 2013. The data file release for the 2011-2012 National Survey of Children's Health will be released. There are several vision questions that will look at whether the child had ever been told by a doctor or other healthcare provider that they had vision problems that cannot be corrected using standard glasses or contact lenses. And we'll be able to look at that both at the time of the interview as well as ever. We will know the age that the child was first told by a doctor or other healthcare provider that they had this problem. We will know the severity of vision problems and whether they had delayed or foregone vision care within the last 12 months. That's my own timer, sorry. And I'll wrap up very quickly. For children less than 5 age, we're going to have a question. Has the child ever had his or her vision screened, I'm sorry, vision tested with pictures, shapes, or letters? For children 5 years of age and older, during the past 2 years, that is since whatever the date, has the child had his or her vision tested with pictures, shapes, or letters? What kind of place did the child have his or her vision tested? Was it an eye doctor's office, general doctor's office, clinic, school, or other place? So I wanted to give you, because it will tie in with what Kira just mentioned and monitoring. So that will be out soon. Anyway, thank you very much.